One of my heroes, as we get into this text this morning, Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bible with you, you can flip to that passage. But I want to kind of set things up a little bit for Paul is writing an important letter here. Paul is recognizing within this church the need for some correction, some turning, if you will. The ship is kind of heading in one direction, and Paul realizes that it's listing a little bit, and maybe we need to get it back straight on course. So Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae, a very direct letter. We see that oftentimes with Paul, when he would hear of an issue going on with a church and within a church, he would be very direct. He would get really straight to the point right in the beginning. The thing I love about Paul, though, is he does it with such love. If you read his letters, they always start with him praising the people there, giving them some encouragement, recognizing their faithfulness. And that's not any different with this letter. But this is the guy, Paul, that we're talking about, who would oftentimes, when he had the opportunity to slow down for a moment and write a letter to a church, it was because he was sitting in prison. He was oftentimes thrown into prison because of his faith. And I look up to that. We have so many freedoms here, and sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I question even my own faith. Would I be able to do what Paul did for the faith? I would like to raise my hand and jump up and down and say, absolutely. But you know, we're not faced with that here, with that kind of persecution, with what Paul went through. Paul in Philippians, as he was writing to the church in Philippi, one of the things I love that he wrote, it comes from chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, if I'm going to be living, or if I'm going to keep on living in the body, this will mean that I'll have fruitful labor. And I love that, because then he also says, but if I am to die, that'll be a celebration with Christ. So Paul recognizes something, and I really want to set this up for you. The author of this letter to the church in Colossae is a man who was often sitting in prison, a man who was often beaten for his faith, and even those who were faithful, the church, those who were maybe led to Christ through some other person, Peter, or some of the others that were out there sharing the gospel, when Paul would show up, oftentimes he was even questioned for his faith, because they said, wait a minute, you're that guy, Saul. You're the one who turned on Christians, who would oversee the beating and the imprisonment and the killing of Christians. Why are you now sharing the gospel? They would question. So Paul was, unfortunately, sometimes he was a man without a country, so to speak. But Paul, when he was pressed, he said this. When people would threaten to kill him, he would say this. You know what? To die is gain. If you kill me, fine. To die is gain, because I will get to be with the Lord. Well, you can imagine that made the prison guards and those other people very upset. So they said, fine, you're going to keep on living, but we're going to torture you. And his response to that, like I just read, was fine. If I continue living, then I will do so and be fruitful for God's kingdom. Paul was an incredible missionary. Apostle in the name of Christ. Sometimes we kind of look past Paul just because of some of the things that happened, but Paul was so influential in the young church. His writings were so influential that when they put together the canon, his writings were included because they were God's words. So when we read Paul's letters, when we read his writing, we should understand clearly that this man walked on the earth with Christ. He was appointed personally by Jesus Christ into the ministry that he performed. So as we dive into Colossians chapter 3, and I almost feel bad even giving you guys a sermon this morning, because after a baby dedication, I could just pack it up and go home. Isn't that just awesome? I'm stuck there, guys. I'm sorry. I like babies. I really do. I like them when they're someone else's a little better, but just such an awesome experience. Such an awesome experience. Big passage here. We're going to read 1 through 16, so hang with me. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your old life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, does that sound like the words of a man who still desires to live in sin? Paul was changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ grabbed that man and transformed him into a whole new creation. You know, we hear testimonies of people, maybe even some of our friends. We hear about how God rescued them, pulled them out of the gutters, changed their lives. That was Paul. Except Paul didn't have some sort of addiction or thing that was, it was evil. It was pure evil that had grabbed Paul, Saul, before he was changed. Grabbed a hold of him, had control over him, pure evil. But when Jesus visited him and blinded him and changed him, he became a whole new creation. Who better to listen to then when we think about how the cross that we sang about this morning changes the lives of people? I think when Paul wrote this letter, he could write it from personal experience. He could say, I dealt with all of these things. All of this stuff that you're going through, I went through it. I was troubled by it. It's the evil that was in my life. But by the power of the cross, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, it was changed. He was changed. Paul was never to be the same again. So different that Jesus even said to him, you are no longer Saul. You are changed. You are different. Who better to listen to than one who walked with the Lord and went through these very things in his life? So I want to focus just real quick on the first part of this passage. I want to make it quick because really this is kind of the doom and gloom part of the passage, is it not? Talking about God's wrath. Now, I don't know about you guys, but in my life, I experienced my father's wrath a few times. Probably deserved it. Probably didn't think I did at the time, but as I look back now, boy, did I deserve it. I think about how powerful, how convicting, and how transforming it was for me when I thought about my dad's wrath. when he would punish me for whatever it is I did. My earthly father. Think how much more serious God's wrath is. God's wrath brings death. But it's our own choosing. See, if we choose to walk in these ways, if we choose to focus on these things, the sexual immorality, the impurity, the lust, evil desires, the greed, if we choose to focus on those things, we know then that in our life it will only bring death. And even here on earth, Paul recognizes that if we are focused on those things, if we are living in those old ways, even now, we are living in a spiritual death. Our spirit is not being nurtured. It's not growing. And that leads to death. If we focus on the evil, the impurities, the so many different things that are going on in this world, if we focus only on those things, it can only lead to one conclusion. Paul says, it's time now. And he uses an incredible picture, word picture, if you will. When he talks about this, he says, take them off. Take that stuff off. And the word picture he uses is grave clothes. That's not a very appealing picture, is it? The clothes that they would wrap up a person who had passed, when they would put him in a tomb. That's what Paul's talking about here. Take that stuff off. Now, as you can imagine, after someone's been in a tomb for a while, after they've been dead for a while, those clothes are becoming rotted, and they have a smell to them. Paul says it's time in your new life, as a changed person, it's time to take those things off. Rid yourselves of those things now and forever. Do away with them. So many of us, and myself included, we'll peel off some of that stuff. We'll rid our lives of some of that stuff, but it's kind of like we leave some things dragging behind us. We kind of walk and we see these tattered rags dragging behind us. And Paul's saying here, it's time to rid yourself of all of that. To take off the death clothes. Those things that are dragging you down. Those things that are bringing you back into evil. Rid yourselves of them forever. Take them off. To take them off. To be done with it. Because Christ has something so much more beautiful. When we rid ourselves of those things, when they're finally gone from our bodies, Christ then covers us with his robe of righteousness. We see that on the cross. We see that in Jesus' own resurrection. You notice he did not come out of the tomb wearing his grave clothes. Where were they left? They were lying in the tomb where they belonged because Jesus came out alive again. To make such an incredible impact on this world. He came out not saying, oh, this sin from Jason, it's still dragging me down. No, instead he came out saying, I've ridded Jason of that sin. Now it's Jason's choice to focus on me. Jesus changed things in the tomb when he left his death clothes lying on that stone. And he calls us to do the same thing through Paul's words here. Rid yourselves of those death clothes. All that stuff that drags you down, all that stuff that pulls you back into evil, the unwholesome talk. And what Paul's talking about here, when he's talking about the filthy language, the bad talk, he's actually talking about things that hurt relationships with other people. The reason I was so encouraged when God said, preach this sermon, is because this church, we're in a transition. And sometimes in transition, we can kind of get stuck. We can take a step forward and then two steps back, and then we take a step forward again. And I wanted to encourage you. I wanted to encourage you to think about this stuff sometimes that we get stuck in and break beyond that. To get beyond it. To say that, all that stuff, we're leaving it behind. We're not going to talk bad about people. We're not going to do this. We're going to move forward in the name of Jesus. Transformed, a new creation. You see, Paul talks about the person here, but this also can apply to the church, to the body of believers. Like I said in the baby dedication, we need each other. That's why the word tells us that we should not forsake the meeting together. We need each other. The church people, the church, dare I say, not Billy Graham, not some of the other famous evangelists, but the church is the solid workforce for the kingdom on this earth. We need the church. So we even as a church need to decide to do away with all that stuff, just be done with it, and to move forward. Wearing Christ's robe of righteousness. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. So he goes on to talk about that. Paul, really what he's saying here, Matthew Henry puts it best. I can't claim these words. He's saying that, you know what, when you become a Christian, when your life is transformed by the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, when that changes your life, you no longer get your nourishment from this world. Now your nourishment comes from the Lord. I love that. What a beautiful picture. Such simple words, but what a beautiful picture. So I ask you this morning, is your nourishment coming from the Lord? Or is it coming from this world? Now we're all going to watch TV and we're going to listen to music and we're going to be involved in this world. I mean, we're even told that we're to be in this world, just not of it. And that's a difficult picture. That's actually a sermon series. So I won't get too much into it this morning. But we're going to be surrounded by that stuff. But here's the question. What is your soul connecting to? What is your soul connecting to? Your spirit. If your spirit is connecting to the Spirit of God, then you're moving in the right direction. And this is what Paul goes on to tell us. He said, once you're done with all that stuff, once you've taken off the grave clothes, and he's reminding this body of believers here that we even need to get over the past of cultural differences, talking about the Greek and the Jew and the circumcised, the uncircumcised, the barbarian, the Scythian, get past even all those cultural differences, be done with all that, and instead raise each other up. Therefore, as God's people, his chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with the things of Christ. And what are those things? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. This church will never grow until we practice exactly what Paul is preaching. And I'm not talking about numerical growth even. I'm talking about spiritual growth. Every church should remember this saying every time they meet together. They should remember Paul's teaching that we will not grow. We will not become spiritually stronger until we decide that we're going to forgive one another. We're going to move past the grievances that we might have against one another, and we're going to look to the cross, and we're going to come together, and we're going to move that direction, period. Let me tell you something, guys. If you put all of your faith and trust in one person or in a person, a couple, a group of people, a Sunday, they will always let you down. As a pastor, I've always told people, listen, don't put your faith in me, because tomorrow I will let you down, period. It'll happen. Your deacons, they're trusted people, but there are going to be times where, oh, they just didn't do what I wanted them to do. Get over it. Move on. Forgive the grievance. Forgive what happened. That's when First Baptist Augusta will grow. And the light will get brighter. And can you picture the light of this church, of the churches across Augusta, being so bright that there are no longer shadows of evil in this town? Is that not a beautiful picture? And is that not what we're striving for? As brothers and sisters in Christ, is that not what we're striving for? Listen, we have a mission. We have a mission in other places. I think it's sinful when a church isn't missional. God trusts us with money to be used to further the kingdom. So it's only right that we have missions that we support in other places and other communities, but God planted your building here. What are we doing to be a light in our community? Can people say, First Baptist, you know, I heard someone talking and they're mad at this person, and they're mad at that person, and it seems like there's just a whole lot of something going on there. I've not heard this stuff. I'm just giving you an illustration. Praise God, I haven't heard it. But are we keeping in that stride? Are we practicing our faith in that vein so that we, with the other believers in this community, can be a light so bright that shadows of evil are gone? Get past it. Get past the cultural differences. Get past the grievances and be kind to one another. Be gentle with one another. Be patient with one another. Sounds easy, doesn't it? All those words, they just roll off of our lips. They just flow. But when it comes to putting our feet to the ground, we find ourselves wanting to retreat, looking for our grave clothes, because we think this is too hard. But Christ assures us that if we only seek Him, if we seek who He is, if we seek His example of servanthood, if we seek His purity, the sinless, spotless Lamb, He tells us that His yoke is light and His burden is easy. Folks, I'm sure we could all recall a time in our lives where we got trapped in something and we were trying to fix it on our own, and that only buried us more and more and more. We wanted to rely on our own power and not the power of the gospel. We wanted to trust in ourselves and not trust in the Lord who created us. And it gets heavy as all that pressure starts coming down on us. I'm thankful that Bree came up this morning. What she's saying is, I can't do this. The pressure will just cave in on me. I need the Lord to help me raise young Addison. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us focus on the things that Paul is speaking here. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What a beautiful picture. You've heard people say, I'm just so heavy-hearted. I'm heavy-hearted. I'm burdened by something. The peace of Christ comes in and lifts that burden. That's why so often in our Christianese, in our Christian language, we say that He's lightened my heart. And we say that, but it is true. It is absolutely true. When we set our minds and our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated, and do you notice that going back to the very beginning? What is Paul saying? Set your heart and your minds on things above. In other words, let all of your emotion be directed by our Lord. Our minds, our intellect, our thinking, let all of your thinking be directed by the Lord. What a beautiful challenge. What a beautiful challenge that Paul gives us here. And let that peace rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach one another. Something we can think about as we think about this Children's Sunday. You know, the Bible tells us, I'll tell you a story first. Just popped into my mind, so if it's not a funny story, then it's my fault. But I was talking to this older lady, and she said, Jason, I'm just kind of, you know, I've done my time. I've been teaching Sunday school when my kids were in Sunday school. I've done all of that. It's someone else's turn now. It's time for someone else to come up. And while I agree that everyone needs to step up for the service of the Lord, your time is never over. You are not done. The Bible tells us, and this goes along with this teaching thing, the Bible tells us, in fact, that old women, raise up the young women in the ways of the Lord, and old men, likewise. Your time is never done. Paul's telling us here, this is what you are to do in the church. Pastor Vic, a few Sundays ago, he asked you in the Great Commission, what's the most important? Go, make disciples, teach, baptize. What is it? We all agreed it was make disciples. That is our role as we think about what Paul is saying here. So if you're old, I'm not giving you a pass. You're as committed and as challenged here this morning as the young people. It just can never end. Focusing on the things of Christ, it never ends. And it only brings more and more glory until that day that we are made perfect in Christ's presence. Because this word also tells us that when Christ returns, we will all be raised in his glory. The end of Philippians chapter 2 says that on that day, every knee will bow and tongue confess that Christ truly is the Lord. Stand with me this morning. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to make that confession just on your own. We're not going to say anything out loud necessarily, but I challenge you this morning. Are you ready to live in this way? To put to death all of that stuff that drags us down and cling to the things of Christ, his Spirit working so abundantly in you. As we pray this morning, I just ask you to search your hearts. I realize nowadays so many decisions are just made right there where you're sitting, where you're standing, in your Sunday school classes. There's an old saying in church ministry that used to be we could preach one sermon and 20 people would come forward. Now we have to preach 20 sermons for one person to come forward. I get that. It's just a change in our church culture. Decisions are made right where you are. I'm asking you this morning to commit to this. As this church grows through this change, this transition, are you ready to move beyond all the junk that might be holding you back? In your personal life, are you ready to say, Jesus, as you rose again and rid yourself of those death clothes, I want to live like you? That's the question. To rid yourselves of the smell and the stench of death and move forward to life. Christ gave us that example on Resurrection Sunday. What a beautiful picture. Pray with me. Father, I'm just so thankful this morning that we had this opportunity to come together, an opportunity to share in your word, an opportunity for you to speak to us and through us. Father, I'm thankful for Paul's life, his ministry, his witness, and the words that he wrote that challenge us to move beyond death, to move beyond sin, to move beyond the things of this world and into life. The life that can only come through you, Jesus. Thank you that you gave yourself up. Thank you that you took that stench of death away from us on the cross. And thank you, too, that in your glory, you clothe us in those robes of righteousness so that we can seek you earnestly and live in your ways. God, we're always going to have influences coming in from this world. We understand that. But help us overcome this world just as Christ did, using the same power found in the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you, and we're thankful. Again, we pray a blessing over families with these beautiful babies. Such an awesome time in the life of a church. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord. We pray these things through Jesus. Amen.